724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn. Weekdays from 1230 to 2 on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn. 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Tuesday edition of It's Your Turn. Have you been outside yet today? I'm sure many of you have, perhaps most of you, at least out on the back porch, if nothing else. It is chilly out there. Yes, the temperatures have actually climbed up into the low end of the 60s, but dark clouds have moved in, and the wind has kicked up, and it's just downright chilly. And would you believe north of Butler again? We've got rain that has developed today. I don't know how long it's going to last, but same thing happened yesterday afternoon. Unbelievable, huh? Yeah. We're looking at radar right now, and much of our listening area north of Butler is either getting rain or has received it in the last half hour or will be getting it in the next 15 minutes or so. Well, a little discouraging, but we'll see. Maybe this will do it for today. We'll keep an eye on the radar. The weather folks did tell us yesterday that there was a chance, a slight chance, we would see some isolated showers, and we did. Yesterday it was all north of Butler, but the northern half of our listening area got peppered yesterday afternoon and the late afternoon. So it looks like same thing today. Okay. Hey, we've got guests coming up later on the program today. We're going to be talking about UFOs a little bit later. Have you ever seen one? UFO? We'll talk about that with guest Steve Alton. And then still later on the program, Margaret Clausen is going to stop in and talk with us. Margaret Clausen, many of you will know Margaret. I've known her for quite some time. I mean, we're not close friends, but she's been an acquaintance. She is retiring as executive director of the YWCA in Butler after many, many years. And there have been a lot of changes at the YWCA over the past few decades. We'll talk about that. It's a wonderful facility that we have here in Butler, and they do wonderful things. We'll talk about that, talk with Margaret. Be anxious to see her. I haven't seen her in a while. She'll be with us in the studio a little bit later on the program today. Steve Alton is not in Butler, but we will be talking with him on the telephone about UFOs. Open talk to begin with, 283-2525, 283-2525. Have you ever seen a UFO? We're talking about unidentified flying object. I don't think I have. But I'm not the type of guy who's out much in the evening looking at the stars. I don't. I've been fascinated by them, but I've never really read enough about them to know what I'm looking for, other than, you know, the Big Dipper, which is Ursa Major, I think, the scientific name for the Big Dipper. Is that right? Yeah, that's what it is, Ursa Major. And the North Star, and I got to be honest with you, that's about it. I don't know too much more. It's just not something I've never gotten a telescope and looked at the skies. Now, a meteor. I've seen an occasional meteor. I haven't seen too many of those either. The last time I can remember going out to look at the sky was for one of those so-called super moons. It was 2 or 3 years ago. And to be honest with you, it's the first time I'd ever heard that term, super moon. I don't know whether astronomers use that or not, or whether it was just kind of slang that worked its way into the nomenclature. But there was a big to-do. First time I remember hearing about it. It was in the news and everything. And I went out about 10:30 or something like that. So the moon was supposed to come up. We knew the right direction. I think half the neighborhood was out there. We were standing on the sidewalk looking, and the moon came up, and there it was, full moon. It didn't look any different. It didn't look any different than any other full moon to me. And I stood there for, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes and kind of looked around. There were a few mumblings among the people who were gathered there. Well, so much for that. And then I've read since then that those so-called supermoons which appear, you know, there have been two or three of them since then, that they're really not all that much bigger than a regular moon. So, but that was my last really experience of looking at the heavens with any great interest. So, UFO, to best of my knowledge, I've never seen one. Oh, every once in a while you see something when you're out, and sometimes at dusk, you know, you see a blinking light and say, oh yeah, it's a plane. Or early in the morning, and I get to see that a lot because I'm up early in the morning every weekday here at the radio station as dawn is breaking, and sometimes if you get the right atmospheric conditions, you can see a wonderful array of contrails from passenger aircraft, jet aircraft. That, and you can always see them flying east to west. There are a lot of planes that take off from the East Coast, whether it's New York or Boston or Philadelphia, and they're flying to San Francisco. That's just standard procedure. They take off early in the morning because of the time difference. They can get out there, and it's, in some cases, pretty much the same time that they left. So you'll see that in... just before the sun comes up, you can sometimes see these contrails. Fascinating. About it for me. Have you ever seen a UFO? Huh? Now, I've talked to people. I've talked to people who, they're pretty convinced that they've seen USOs. I've read a little bit about them. Not a great deal. I've read a little bit about them. Well, we'll talk with Steve Alton, and he became interested in this a few years back when he says he and his wife saw a UFO down in Florida, actually, several of them, and he's written about it, and I don't know, I've not heard of Steve before. He's written a thriller that includes some UFO plot to it. Sounds like a pretty good book. Now, we had the incident here in western Pennsylvania back in the late 1960s in Kecksburg, PA. That's right near Mount Pleasant, where there was a UFO. There's some sort of an object came down. There's no question that it actually happened. It was on the Pittsburgh TV news that night. And it was in the newspapers the next day. This was back in the 60s, so there were two Pittsburgh newspapers, the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, the morning paper, and then the Pittsburgh Press, the evening paper. And there were, and on the Pittsburgh talk shows, there were people talking about it. Some people claim to have seen it. Many witnesses reported the U.S. military coming and spiriting this object away to points unknown on this night. And that's about all we've ever heard from it. We actually did a program on it, remember? With the gentleman from Greensburg. Who's the... I can't think of his name off the top of my head. He has studied this for many, many years. Well, maybe I'll ask Steve Alton about that when we get him on the horn a little bit later. Have you ever seen a UFO? Yeah. Evidence of one? Roswell, of course. Roswell, New Mexico. Probably the most famous UFO incident in the United States, and that was back in the 1940s, so, well, we'll see. We'll talk with Steve about it a little bit later on the program today. Open talk at 283-2525, 283-2525, 2525. We had a story a couple of weeks ago about the family of slain Saxonburg police chief Gregory Adams and their thoughts on the FBI announcing that they'd found a secret room in the home of a family member of the suspected killer, Donald Eugene Webb, and kind of opened up the case again after decades. This was in late 1980, that Greg Adams was slain on the outskirts of Saxonburg, right on the edge of town, on what was expected to be a routine traffic stop. He stopped this guy and ended up shot. Very strange case. The Post-Gazette and Karen Kane is a great reporter, by the way, for the Post-Gazette. I've known Karen for quite a while. Had a lengthy article on it this past Sunday, like a three-page article on the story. And kind of surprising because we hadn't heard too much about it for quite a while. And then suddenly it turns out that there's a secret room in the home of a family member of Donald Eugene Webb. It's up in New England somewhere, I think, right? Yeah. Massachusetts. And in the room, investigators found a cane. Now, it's believed that Greg Adams was able to wound Donald Eugene Webb in the leg before Webb fatally shot Greg Adams. So, you know, it's all circumstantial, but it's very, very interesting to find this secret room, you know, where family members hiding Webb for years, decades. Was that his cane? Is he still alive? I don't know. We had this one story, and then that's it. I haven't heard anything since. But a very detailed article by Karen Kane. She even had pictures of this house up in Dartmouth, Massachusetts. It really does reopen old wounds for certainly the widow of Greg Adams. She's now remarried to Marianne Jones. But also for everybody in Saxonburg, the people who were alive back then, who can remember vividly that day, that horrible day, and it was shortly before Christmas. It was early December, 1980. I don't know. Will we ever get more detailed information? Will it suddenly pop out? It's one of those mysteries. You know, is Donald Eugene Webb still alive even? Who knows? One of those mysteries that really ranks in my mind up with the incredibly sad and sudden disappearance of Cherry Ann Mahan, which is now, gosh, it's got to be 25 or 30 years ago, doesn't it? At least 25, when she stepped off a school bus in the Cabot area, Corn Planter Road, Winfield Township. And it wasn't that far from her house. Never seen again. Never seen again. Will she ever turn up? I don't know. Very sad, these old tragedies, but every once in a while, a cold case comes alive again, particularly with new forensic technology that is available to do DNA testing and other things. Wouldn't that be something really lovely? To find out not only what happened to Cherry Ann Mahan, but if she was still alive. Wouldn't that be amazing? 283-2525 is our number. Open talk on the program today, 283-2525. News out of Washington. What to make of the health care mess? I have no idea where that's going. Absolutely no idea. The Congressional Budget Office, the Nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office released their estimates this week, indicating that the current GOP health reform bill would add 22 million people to the rolls of the uninsured. That, along with the cost estimates, has prompted several other Republican senators to say they can't support it in its present form. In fact, there's some question now whether it will even come up for a procedural vote, let alone a yes or no vote later this week. Some saying they think it needs more work yet. What a complicated issue, huh? And so marred by politics. It was the first time around, back in the early years of the Obama administration, very much marred by political infighting and obstructionism, and the same thing's happening this time around, too. How sad that our elected representatives, no matter what party they are, I don't care whether they're Democrats or Republicans, how sad that they can't get together and hash something out. They can't forget politics and hash something out for health care. Especially when you consider that we are one of the only Western-style democracies in the world that doesn't provide health care for our people. Almost all other Western-style democracies provide it. Canada, Great Britain, Germany, all the European democracies. Now, it's not quite the same form everywhere, but they all have some form of government-provided health care, except the United States. Our health care comes through the workplace. You know, most people have health care through their place of employment. And even that only came about, from my reading, at the end of World War II, when tens of thousands of servicemen were returning back to the United States, and employers were trying to recruit them for jobs, and that's when they started offering health benefits through the workplace. So it really isn't all that old, our tradition. 283-2525 is our number, 283-2525, Open Talk, here on the It's Your Turn program today. One of our sponsors on the program is DBS Telecommunication. You know about this company? DBS Telecommunication? They are a telephone equipment dealer and a data network installer. They serve all of the Butler area. In fact, they serve all of the Pittsburgh area, too. They sell, install, and repair telephones for your office. Now, they primarily install commercial telephone and voicemail systems. DBS Telecommunications has been serving the Butler area for the past 32 years. They've been around. They specialize in phone systems, in custom-designed networks, including fiber optics, in high-quality hybrid digital telephone systems with 5-year warranties. We have one of those hybrid digital systems here at WISR. We use DBS Telecommunications here at the Butler Radio Network. They also specialize in high-def surveillance camera systems, in multi-door entry access systems, in overhead commercial paging. They also provide cabling for voice, for data, and cable television wiring in both industrial and commercial applications. Call them today. See what they can do for you. Phone number 724-285-9088. And they're on the web at dbs-tel.com. dbs-tel.com. DBS Telecommunications, a local company with a rich history. Find out what they can do for you. We'll be back after this. We are speaking with physical medicine and rehabilitation specialist Dr. Edward Reedy from Tri Rivers Surgical. Dr. Reedy, what types of neurological conditions do you treat?
We would often see patients with simple neurologic conditions such as carpal tunnel syndrome or pinched nerves of the arm, and we'll occasionally see patients with more serious neurologic disorders such as a stroke or brain injury. The treatment for the more serious aspects of these usually involves a fair amount of testing and often hospitalization, whereas the treatment for the more simpler neurologic disorders is usually done on an outpatient basis with medications to fight inflammation and occasionally simple surgical procedures.
To learn more, call Tri Rivers Surgical at their new office near the Clearview Mall in Butler. Toll free, 866-874-7483. That number again is 866-874-7483. Welcome back, folks. It's the Tuesday edition. It's your turn. Let's go to the telephones here. Phone number is 283-2525. Hi, caller. This is Dave Malarkey. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Yeah, I just turned on your show. I was doing some other things when you were talking about the healthcare system.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why people are so opposed to single-payer health systems, but as I have said before, and probably to you, the South Korea in 1953, when we suspended our war to this year and continue,
mm-hmm.
they went around in ox carts, right? They were traveling around in ox carts in 1953, 51, 52, when the war started.
True.
And now, since the late 20th century, they've had universal health care.
They're also one of the most advanced technological countries
exactly.
in the world.
Exactly, and in the same way with Germany, was 100 years before that, and they outproduce us. So what is the fear of having good health care in terms of the economy if people like Germany with no access to anything except their own ability to do things and still have health care and live longer with better health? Why are people afraid of this?
It mystifies me as well. I don't know whether it's philosophical. Now, obviously, if you get universal health care, you have to pay for it, and taxes are going to go up. That makes perfect sense. But you save in other areas. I mean, you don't have any health insurance premiums to pay anymore, for one thing.
Well, not only that, you have a more healthy society, right?
Yeah.
Hopefully, because if you look at the statistics on anything online or in any magazine, we are at the bottom of the industrial world in terms of health care, in terms of quality of health care.
It's true. Not only that, but we're also the most expensive,
even though
we're at the bottom of the pile. Yeah.
Yes. So what is why do we pursue the other effects? And I wish somebody would call your show and tell me why it's important for them not to have good health care, or anybody to tell me. I've never been able to understand that. I've been back in the 20s at Armco, where I worked, they used to tell me that every day somebody went to the hospital with some kind of an accident because of the fact that Armco had to provide health insurance, as you say, after World War II. Those accidents went down considerably because they worked to prevent it.
Yeah.
So everything you do by not having health care is bad from my point of view, for the people who take part in that system.
The only thing that I can, and I don't know whether I'm a cockeyed optimist or what, maybe I need my head examined, but this log jam now that, you know, the Republicans are finding that this is extremely difficult. They're arguing among themselves. I would hope that calmer heads would prevail. I would like to see new leadership in both parties, new blood, perhaps younger, but certainly new. I'm tired of looking at Nancy Pelosi and Mitch McConnell. They both carry too much baggage. Let's get some new blood in there and say, look, this is stupid. We've been arguing about this for 10 years. Let's put our heads together and come up with a solution.
I think that back in 1918, we were advocating universal health care in this country.
It's true. It was in the early 1900s. But I'm talking about specifically since we finally passed Obamacare, and that's, you know, well, nine years ago now.
I just don't understand. I'm beyond the point where I should be I'm of no value to society at the moment because they spend a lot of money to keep me alive. And that's crazy because we have children preborn and born who are the worst in healthcare system for pregnant women and babies in this country. And that's, to me, is not a good way to live because it's just too much work for these people to even exist when you start out with a bad system.
I would hope that the Democrats would say, okay, we made our point, and the Republicans say, okay, we made our point. Let's get together and do something here. This is ridiculous.
But it seems to want to go the other way. And it's frightening that we would come up with an idea that's going to put more people without health care, and you're going to have to go to the emergency room. But I like what you were saying when you called. I said, I have to respond to this somehow because I sit here thinking what we've done to ourselves when the excuse is it's too expensive. When, as you said earlier, the Germans they kick our bottoms with good products because they can't do anything else, but they have better health care. In the same way with... We're driving around in Korean cars.
And listening to and taking pictures on Korean cell phones.
Yes, exactly.
Watching Korean TVs. You're right. And they were a third world country in the early 50s when the Korean car. That's a good point. Listen, my friend, I've got to move on, but I appreciate your comments.
Well, thank you for taking my call.
Sure, appreciate it. 283-2525, the number. I guess we're nearing the end of our allotted time. By the way, tomorrow... are you a multitasker? Sometimes I worry that I get too trapped in that. I start something, whether it's a project or something, and then I get started in something else, and next thing you know, I'm doing something else, and I never seem to get any of them done to my satisfaction. It's very frustrating. Very frustrating. Well, we're going to be talking with a woman tomorrow. Her name is Emily Wapnick, who says maybe that's not all that bad. In fact, she says she has another word for it. She doesn't like multitasker. But she says in today's society, that might even be the future way to plan a career. Not for baby boomers, but for younger people, young adults. That might be the solution. And she cites some pretty famous people who were just that way. If you want to go way back, there's Ben Franklin, who's doing about 15 different things at once all the time. Present day or more recent, Steve Jobs. You know, one of those guys that flitted from thing to thing to thing. It's an interesting concept. We'll talk with Emily about that tomorrow. We also have guests from Butler Downtown on the program with us tomorrow. The Wednesday edition of It's Your Turn. Coming up a little bit later, is it next week? Then we'll be talking to Peter Anno. I think it's next week. He's an individual... locally, originally from this area, from Butler County. He just got back from Antarctica. Now, how many people do you know who just got back from Antarctica? That would be pretty slim. You could probably count them on one hand, right? I'm looking forward to chatting with Peter. He'll be with us one day next week. And we have a bunch of other stuff lined up for you as well, including... The upcoming anniversary of Saxonburg. Man, are they planning big things down there. Marking their 185th anniversary with all kind of stuff coming up in a couple of weeks. So stay tuned for all of that. It'll be coming up on future programs, actually, the next several days here on It's Your Turn on WISR. We want to take just a quick break here. We're going to hook up on the telephone with Steve Alton. If you're intrigued by UFOs, I don't know... Now, some people make fun of other people who say they've seen UFOs. Some people will say, well, you're just a conspiracy theorist. You don't know what you're talking about. We'll talk with Steve Alton about it. Coming up on the program next here on It's Your Turn on WISR. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Mr. 60's here. Rock and roll is forever. And I know you love the oldies. Join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. for the Mr. 60's Rock and Roll Oldies Show. We'll play all your favorites from the 50s, 60s, and 70s. Just like being at your high school dance, only without the gym.
Listeners, on the next segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR. It's great to have you with us. My name is Dave Malarkey. Have you ever seen a UFO? Or maybe you think you've seen one. Are you fascinated by stories of people who have seen UFOs? Then you're going to be blown away by our next segment. Our guest visits with us by telephone. He is New York Times best-selling author Steve Alton. Steve, nice to meet you. Nice to have you with us for a few minutes here today.
Thank you, Dave.
We're going to be talking about UFO sightings in general. Specifically, you have a new thriller just out this summer, right, Steve?
It just came out about 2 weeks ago called Undisclosed.
Mm-hmm. And this is about UFOs. You also had a previous book that discussed USOs in general. It was kind of a complimentary volume to a documentary film, right?
Yeah, there's actually been three tools that we're using right now to try to get the truth out to the public about not just UFOs and extraterrestrials, but the technologies that were reverse engineered from the downed craft that were brought down by the U.S. Army dating back to 1947 and over the years that followed. And this technology could literally change the world we live in. I mean, we're talking about free, clean energy systems. And so my book, Undisclosed, which is a fictional thriller, and Dr. Stephen M. Greer's book, which I edited, called Unacknowledged, and there was a documentary called Unacknowledged, and they were both released at the end of April.
Mm-hmm.
So these three tools we're using to try to get disclosure about these events to the public.
Well, a bit more about your book in a moment or so. Let's start from the beginning here, and let's be very honest about it. For a long time, people, when they say they've seen a UFO or they've talked about it, they're mocked. People make fun of them. Or else they tell them that they've seen something else. It wasn't a UFO. It was a weather balloon, or it was some kind of military aircraft or something like that. You actually experienced this yourself, you and your wife, I guess, one evening about 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah, and before I tell you about that, I just want to sort of ask a question that your listeners, I think, will understand. The question of UFOs is similar in a way to the question about God. If I were to ask you if you believed in God or a higher power or a creator, what would you say?
Well, I would say yes.
And you would say yes based upon what? Based upon there's no physical evidence, technically. Yeah. No. I have to assume that you've never talked to God or he's never talked to you.
We were taught
to believe in God as children, correct?
Yeah.
And the acceptance of God across the world is, what particular religion you might be in, and it doesn't really matter, but the fact that you do believe in a higher power. Well, with UFOs, there is physical evidence. There's tons of physical evidence. There's evidence on FAA radar screens. There's evidence of eyewitnesses who work at military bases that stored nuclear weapons. There's eyewitnesses of pedestrians like myself and my wife who saw, which I'm going to tell you about in a minute. But we have been taught to deny the fact that UFOs exist, and that if you do believe in UFOs, then you're crazy. So, it's an interesting dichotomy between God and UFOs, because here's one factor, UFOs, that there's an abundance of evidence, and yet we were taught not to believe in them. And then there's God, who we do believe in, but it's a leap of faith in some ways. Having said that, if you had asked me prior to December 14th in 2013 if I believed in extraterrestrials and beings from other planets, my answer would be yes, but from a mathematical standpoint, simply because, there are billions of galaxies in the universe and there are trillions of solar systems or star systems in those galaxies, and there are trillions and trillions of planets. So in our own galaxy, the Milky Way, if the chances of life evolving on a planet was one in a million, there'd still be, by those mathematics, millions of species in our galaxy. And so I do believe it, did believe it from that standpoint. However, on December 14th in 2013, my wife and I were driving home from, we had dinner and a movie on a Saturday night. We were driving through our neighborhood, and Dave, I looked up in the sky over our neighborhood. It was a clear sky, and something bizarre was coming toward us. You know, these, they were pale amber lights like nothing I'd ever seen. There were, I guess there were about 8 to 12 of them. They were flying in staggered pairs. And my wife and I got out of the car to watch these things because they weren't planes. They weren't helicopters. They were smooth. They were silent. And they were majestic. And they flew over us about 1,000 feet overhead. And as they passed over us, we could see the outline of their saucer-shaped vessels. Mm. And then as they moved off into the northern sky, they simply vanished. I mean, they didn't just vanish. I mean, they disappeared into the ether. We saw them disappear. And so, and 3 days later, as it happened, I was scheduled to meet with Dr. Stephen M. Greer, the foremost authority on UFOs and extraterrestrials, who had briefed several sitting presidents, members of Congress, heads of the CIA, the DIA, and of course, when we had dinner with him, the first thing that came out of our mouths was, "You're not going to believe that happened to us." And he sort of smiled and he said, "That happens a lot to people he meets for the first time. It's sort of the interstellars checking us out." And had that event not happened, and I believe, truly believe that that event happened for a reason, because it was that event that pushed me to making a 3-year commitment to Dr. Greer to help get his book Unacknowledged out and my book Undisclosed out to bring disclosure to the public about UFOs.
Hmm. So you had already been scheduled to meet with Dr. Stephen Greer prior to this experience that you and your wife had. That meeting was already set up.
Yeah, what happened was a couple years earlier, I had been writing a book about a Mayan trilogy book, Doomsday Trilogy book, called the series was called Domain, and the third book in the series, Phobos, Mayan Fear. There was a section on it that had to do with extraterrestrials, so because I do a lot of due diligence and research into every aspect of the books, I spent a lot of time researching UFOs, and I came across something called the Disclosure Project, which happened in May of 2001 in Washington, D.C. Dr. Greer had brought forth 20 expert eyewitnesses, most of them who had above top secret clearances. They were in the military. They were in the intelligence agencies, the armed forces, the private contractors, and members of the FAA. And they all came forward to testify that UFOs were not only real, but they had seen them, they had run across them, that the government was keeping this a secret. And when I saw the YouTube of the Disclosure Project, I contacted Dr. Greer and asked him permission to use excerpts from those testimonials in between the chapters of my book to give it sort of a realistic sense. So he was very generous and agreed to do it, and I sent him a copy of the book, and then a year later, his wife had contacted me and said, "We love the book, and we want to meet you for dinner. We're going to be in Miami Beach in December." And this was like August, mm-hmm. So the meeting was scheduled 6 months in advance. And here, right before we were supposed to meet with him, there were the UFOs.
And he said this has happened before, and it was not unusual.
Correct. Because he explained to me, and since over the last 3 years of interviewing him and gaining access to his top testimonials from eyewitnesses, and you know, he's explained to me that, you know, it's all about consciousness, it's all about thought energy, that extraterrestrials communicate over vast distances through thought energy. So they're able to read our thoughts, they're able to read what's in our heads, and by doing so, you know, what motivates us to do the things that we're doing.
This is obviously a little bit spooky. Were you frightened when you saw these objects in the sky back in December of 2013?
Actually, not at all. I mean, neither my wife and I were frightened. We were actually it was an exhilarating feeling. It was like we were privileged to be able to see this. There was nothing There was nothing evil about this. There was nothing malicious. This was peaceful, completely, you know, from yeah, obviously from beings that have far greater technology and intelligence than us, but, you know, a totally peaceful event.
Listeners, for those of you who have joined us a few minutes late, first of all, welcome on this segment of It's Your Turn. We're talking with Steve Alton. Steve is the New York Times best-selling author, and specifically the author of a new thriller about UFOs entitled Undisclosed. If you're looking for Steve online, it's Steve Alton, A-L-T-E-N. This happens to be, Steve, the anniversary of probably the most famous incident. I mean, even, you know, if you're looking at the history of UFOs and everything that's been written about them and so on, the incident that would first pop up in most people's mind would be Roswell. And this is the anniversary of that, right?
That's correct. It was 70 years ago this week that the Roswell Army Air Force Base used a new scalar longitudinal wave weapon. Scalar waves are actually faster than light speed. And they had, believe it or not, back in 47, they had developed this radar-type weapon. And in the last week of June of 1947, there were three UFOs that were buzzing the Air Force Base, Roswell Air Force Base in New Mexico. And the reason that, and what the book explains, what Undisclosed explains, and Unacknowledged as well, is that the reason that these UFOs were buzzing these bases is because in Roswell, they had the only, it was the home of the only bomber squadron, the 509 bomber squadron, the only wing in the world that was equipped with atomic weapons. See, what brought these species, and there's many of them, according to many accounts, there's several dozen different species of interstellars that have been visiting Earth. What brought them in droves was the fact that during World War II, we were testing atomic weapons, and eventually we used two of them on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. That set off not a panic, but sort of an alarm to our neighbors that the kids have learned how to play with gasoline and matches. Mm. And they came not to, you know, to harass us, for lack of a better word, but to protect us from ourselves. And so on June 24th in 1947, there was a UFO sighting that made international news. And 8 nights later, 3 extraterrestrial vehicles that were buzzing Roswell Air Force Base were shot down using this scalar wave device. Now, 2 of the UFOs crashed southwest of Corona, New Mexico. They crashed into each other, and they went down. And the third vessel wasn't discovered for 2 more years in Horse Mesa, which is west of Magdalena in New Mexico. And one of the military witnesses that provided information for Undisclosed and the other book, Unacknowledged, which I edited for Dr. Greer, he was shown a 16-millimeter movie of the Roswell recovery, which showed the ET bodies being moved. They were taken to Kirtland Air Force Base and then on to Los Alamos. But there was one of the ETs that survived, and he was taken to Los Alamos, this ET.
Hmm. Listeners, we have to take a break. Are you intrigued? I told you we're going to be blown away by this. We have a bit more time to chat with Steve Alton, and we'll pick up our conversation with him here on It's Your Turn on WISR right after these words.
Choices, decisions, quality health care. These are important issues that really hit home. It's a good thing that Concordia Visiting Nurses is here to help. Home health care can help you or your loved one recuperate from an illness, manage a chronic disease, or recover from an injury or operation right in your own home. If you're in need of home health care, choose Concordia Visiting Nurses. Call toll-free at 1-877-352-6200.
Tune in to WISR 680 AM Sunday mornings for these programs. Senior Voice at 710 AM, The Rosary at 8, Church of God at Conakinesing at 8:30, followed by church services from St. Paul's Roman Catholic Church at 9:15, and First Baptist Church at 11.
Welcome back on the It's Your Turn program. This segment, my name is Dave Malarkey. Our guest is Steve Alton. Steve is the New York Times bestselling author. His most recent book is a thriller about UFOs. It's called Undisclosed. It's just out earlier this month, as a matter of fact. At all the places, Steve, where we usually find books these days, I would imagine, or do you have to get it online, or what's the deal?
No, Undisclosed has wide distribution. In fact, Barnes & Noble was kind enough to put it on their front shelves or the front table. So if you ask anyone at Barnes & Noble, they'll be able to let you know if there's copies available, and by all means, give them a call.
I'm familiar with, Roswell and Sydney, Mexico, and so on and so forth. I'm not familiar with a lot of the details. I seem to recall hearing that some people think that there were bodies that were brought to a location near Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Dayton, Ohio, which is not all that far from us in western Pennsylvania. Any truth to that story, or was that a different situation altogether?
No, you're 100% correct. The bodies of the deceased extraterrestrials were placed in deep freeze and sent to Wright-Patterson.
And to the best of your knowledge, are they still there?
I can't say if they're still there. I mean, it's been 70 years, but that's where they were initially brought.
What about the wreckage of the spacecraft? Were they recovered? Was there anything left of them?
Yeah, they were actually recovered, and that's the key to the story in Undisclosed, because they were reverse engineered. And the technology that allows these craft to travel in higher dimensions and almost instantaneously is a clean, free, abundant energy system called zero-point energy. Now, zero-point energy, while it was reverse engineered from these craft, was actually discovered by our own scientists as far back as 1901. It was Nikola Tesla, who was a brilliant scientist who realized more than 100 years ago that this fourth dimensional time space existed, and he was able to discover how to tap into this zero point energy field, zero point energy named that way because it comes from the zero-point energy field, which is zero energy being the absolute zero freezing temperatures.
Mm-hmm.
And Tesla was on the verge of bringing free energy to the world. J.P. Morgan intervened. J.P. Morgan was a wealthy industrialist, and he had invested in copper wire, which was being used to wire up businesses and homes to receive electricity. Well, J.P. Morgan decided that giving energy to people without charging them was kind of un-American, so when Tesla was set up to conduct his experiment that would have brought free energy to everybody, J.P. Morgan got his cronies in Washington, D.C. to shut it down, and he confiscated all the scientists' papers and basically left him destitute. And that pattern, Dave, has repeated itself throughout history, that every time a scientist has figured out how to tap into the zero-point energy field, they're shut down or silenced by the powers that be. They're denied patents for their inventions, and in many cases their labs are ransacked or the scientists themselves are killed.
What about Roswell itself? What has either the military or the federal government had to say about Roswell? Anything officially at all?
Well, nothing officially, but you have to understand back in 1947, World War II had just ended, and we were in the Cold War, and we had just used atomic weapons on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and we were involved in a Cold War with the USSR. So the Soviets were in a race to develop the hydrogen bomb, and now there were flying saucers that were buzzing our military bases. So President Truman, he had to deal with this. So he put together some task force. The first one was called Project Sign, and that evolved into Project Grudge. There was a disinformation project known as Project Blue Book that was designed to fool the public. And now, as things went on, there were more UFOs that were being shot down. I think there were 13 total that were shot down over the next several years. So in comes President Eisenhower. And in 1956, President Eisenhower asked Nelson Rockefeller, who was part of his administration, to establish a secret energy secret agency that was to be known as Majestic or MJ-12. And MJ-12 was designed to handle the UFO situation. Well, what happened was MJ-12 turned into sort of a military-industrial complex agency and denied the president access into the agency. And while their name has changed over the years, it's not just one society. It's sort of a quasi-government, quasi-privatized operation. It's international, transnational. It functions outside of the oversight of any single agency or the government. The president is kept out of the loop. It's a criminal organization now because it runs without the knowledge of the president or the members of Congress.
And, of course, Eisenhower, when he left office, served 2 terms, 8 years. And as he was leaving and John F. Kennedy was coming in his closing speech, he said, beware the military-industrial complex, right?
And that's a great quote, and that's exactly what happened. And he said that because by the end of his presidency, he had been denied access to the agency that he had set up to handle these things.
I want to.
And what they did was they used billions of dollars, and at this point, trillions of dollars of U.S. taxpayer money to secretly build these subterranean bases miles below the military bases.
This is such a fascinating subject. I want to talk a little bit specifically about your book, but I want to bring up one more thing first. And I don't know whether you've heard about this or not. We had an incident here in western Pennsylvania, outside of Pittsburgh, where an object fell out of the sky back in the late 1960s near Mount Pleasant, PA, and it was witnessed by a lot of people. Several people claimed to have seen it. It was a gargantuan acorn-shaped device with some strange alphabet lettering on it, quickly spirited away by the U.S. military. Have you ever heard about this incident?
I haven't, and you know the major reason for that is that the agencies that control the mainstream media don't want this stuff out there for public consumption. So there's not a TV station or a magazine or a newspaper in the United States that the CIA doesn't control. So they could, this object could have fallen out of the sky and landed in Three Rivers Stadium, and the next day there's not going to be any pictures or a story published about it because they regulate all that.
Well, let's talk a little bit about specifically your book now. This is your new thriller. The title is Undisclosed. One of your main characters is Adam Shariak. Who's he, Steve?
Well, Adam Shariak represents the reader's doubts. Adam Shariak is a character who is a former Iraqi war vet, hero, and to his surprise, he is nominated as a candidate to become Undersecretary of Defense. And the reason that they selected him, they being the a group of people that want the truth about UFOs and ETs and zero-point energy brought out to the public, that they want him as Undersecretary of Defense. He'll have access to a lot of this information. So he sort of gets thrust down the rabbit hole, and he doesn't believe at all in this until things start happening and he starts, meeting with certain people who send him deeper into the rabbit hole. And his mission is to bring zero-point energy out because, and this is really important, zero-point energy is the key to our future. It's the key to humanity turning from a zero-type civilization to a type-one civilization. will get us off of fossil fuels. You know, our civilization has basically retarded itself for the last 100 years. We should be traveling the galaxy right now. But the powers that be have denied zero-point energy to replace fossil fuels, and by doing so, we have poverty, we have hunger, we have climate change. All those things, as undisclosed gets into, would all go away with zero-point energy. And so it's Adam Shariak's mission in the book to bring it out, to get it off the black shelves.
It's a new thriller by Steve Alton. The title is Undisclosed, listeners. One final question, Steve. Have you ever been dismissed by either officials, governmental officials of one sort or another, or by anyone as being, you know, out there on the fringe, a conspiracy theorist? Have you ever been dismissed or even threatened?
Not for this book yet. I've been threatened for another book I wrote back in 2008 called The Shell Game, which got into which pulled back the curtain on 9/11 and showed it was actually a false flag event that was, you know, engaged or allowed to happen by the neoconservative movement. But and I did get threats then. But for Undisclosed, Undisclosed is sort of a Trojan horse. It provides information, the truth, from eyewitnesses about UFOs, extraterrestrials, and zero-point energy in digestible bites for the reader. But the information is very important because, like I said, it would change society.
That's the title, listeners, Undisclosed, a new thriller by Steve Alton. Hey, Steve, nice to meet you today. Nice to talk with you. Thanks for sharing some time with us.
Thank you, Dave. I appreciate it.
Sure, sure. So long now.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog. Well, he will always be the king of rock and roll, and I'll always be Mr. 60s. Listen to the best of the 50s, 60s, and 70s every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. with me, the last hippie DJ of rock and roll. Remember when they used to show Elvis on TV from the waist up? Well, I do my show from the waist up.
Each month, Radio PA gives you a chance to send a question or comment to Governor Tom Wolf during our Ask the Governor program. Your input can make a difference, just like Thomas in Center County, who was concerned about the state prison population counting toward the governor's proposed $25 per capita fee for state police coverage.
Prison populations included in these township formulas, is there a way to offset that, or is that just the way it's going
to
be?
No, no, I think Thomas makes a really good point. That's not right. So I will make sure that, at least in the proposal that I make, I will modify that we don't count the prison population in that. So I think Thomas makes a very good point. Thank you for that good question.
You can be a part of the next Ask the Governor program by going to pamatters.com and clicking the Ask the Governor link at the top of the page. You can also email the program directly at askthegov@pamatters.com. That's askthegov, G-O-V, at pamatters.com. Ask the Governor is an exclusive presentation of Radio Pennsylvania and pamatters.com.
Hi, this is Dave Malarkey. Ever have a tough time getting the motor started early in the morning? I know what you mean. Well, maybe I can help. I'd like to invite you to join me every weekday morning, Monday through Friday, for the Early Morning Show here on WISR. We start with the first local news of the day, bright and early at 5:30. We go to 9:30, and oh yes, we pause for half an hour and have coffee with Kate at 8:30 every weekday morning, too. Please join me. I'd like to share the early morning hours, 5:30 weekdays here on WISR. Welcome back, friends, and we're going to switch gears here quite a bit, actually. That's very strange. Strange discussion there with Steve Alton. But I don't discount it, and I did not realize that this week was the 70th anniversary of Roswell, either. That's food for thought. Hey, we have an acquaintance of long standing here to chat with, and I've been looking forward to a nice, relaxing chat with Margaret Clausen, the longtime executive director of the YWCA in Butler. She's here in the studio with us. Margaret, it's good to see you.
Thank you, Dave. It's good to be here.
And congratulations on your pending retirement.
Oh, thank you so much.
It's very soon, isn't it?
Yes, it's going to be. But this Friday will be my last day. After 33 years, I'm finally hanging it up.
God bless you. That's wonderful.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah. And you've been executive director for that long, haven't
Yes,
you?
I have. Yes, yeah. I have. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Wow, that's just fantastic. It really is.
Well, it's been wonderful, truly.
You have seen a sea change at the YWCA in your 10 years executive director, have you not?
I certainly have. I have. As a matter of fact, when I started, the Y had been a cafeteria, had a large cafeteria that serviced the public. Mm-hmm. And I understand the food was homemade, and it was a very, very popular. The second floor was a girls' dorm because way back then when girls worked in the city, the big city of Butler, why they would stay for the week. And there was a dorm mom and very well chaperoned, that type of thing, a large gymnasium in the building. Mm-hmm. And for many societal reasons, the programs just weren't able to continue. And not that they weren't of good quality. It was simply like, well, let's look at the women's situation. Young women started to drive. They didn't have to live in the city. They didn't need all that supervision, all that structure. So that was dwindling quickly. And then don't forget your fast food came into town. Mm-hmm. That was a major, major problem for the cafeteria. You get in your car, drive through. The Y was facing some real challenges when it came to its future and programming, and it was necessary for the Y, its board, to go in a different direction.
Is the YWCA strictly locally governed? You have a local board?
We have a local board of directors and also a board of trustees, mm-hmm. all local people.
Are you affiliated with a
national YWCA? Correct.
Mm-hmm. So, at the time that you came on board, was it still like a residence for young women at
well,
that time?
Well, actually, the second floor was empty. The residence was still there, but mm-hmm. it was not being utilized. The same thing with the cafeteria. The space was there. It was being rented to different agencies and things like that. So,
well, you know, when you think back on it, well, let's look at it just from the perspective of the way that women are perceived, how
yes.
that's changed in the last 40 years.
Yes, definitely.
Tremendous change.
Yes.
From basic things like what are career options, what career options are open for women. Today it's unlimited.
That is true. That is very true.
Astronaut, president of a company, skilled technician.
Yes.
That's all open to women now. It wasn't.
No.
You don't have to go back all that far. Tragically,
no.
Very tragically, when women were expected to be either a nurse or a teacher.
And that's exactly the way it was. They worked either in an office in Butler or they were a sales clerk in Butler.
Mm-hmm.
But to talk about a profession, no, that wasn't there.
And you know what I didn't
time.
Realize until you mentioned it? I mean, I could see the need for young women, especially
yes.
if they were just out of school, coming to Butler, getting their first job, needing a semi-protected place to stay.
Right.
But what I didn't think about was not a whole lot of women drove cars back then.
No, they did not. So they would have someone bring them, let's say, on a Sunday evening, and they would go home maybe Saturday morning for the weekend. But they would remain in Butler.
You could walk to work.
Yeah, walk to work. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That was the key. You could walk to work, so you would stay at the Y. Parents knew you were highly supervised, and my understanding was, yes, highly supervised.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, we have changed. We have changed, and we had to change the building, the whole design of the building to accommodate the changing scene, too.
Do you know, and obviously this goes back before your time, do you know the history of that building? Do you know when it was built there?
I can't tell you that. I really can't. The building, this particular building on West Cunningham Street was built in 1950, but the Y was in existence. YWCA was in existence prior to that.
Mm-hmm. I guess that was, my question was poorly phrased. That building's been there since 1950. It has kind of a 1950s look about it.
It sure does.
The
yes, the architecture on it. Yes, it sure does. Yeah.
However, perhaps other than just the facade at the very front. Otherwise, it has changed markedly in its layout, its physical layout inside over the past 20 years especially.
Well, that's the point. It was very hard. We looked around, and it lent itself to this but not to that, and it was very difficult. And so we did what you'd call a community study, a needs study, and I think everybody was quite surprised. People now are living longer, mm-hmm. but they have quantity but not necessarily quality of life. They also are in meager incomes. People did not make a lot of money 30, 40s, and 50s. They did not. And now we're back into, you know, the 70s, 80s, what have you. And they just can't afford expensive, you know, nursing care. So we thought that we'd take a look at it. We got some wonderful opinions from people and decided to go into personal care.
And you had the building. The building was already there.
We had the building. The building mm-hmm. was there. It was right in the heart of Butler. We found there was a need for it. It seemed the right thing to do. There was just one tiny, weeny little problem. Money. Where are we going to get all of this money to do all of this, you know, mm-hmm. Renovation? You have very generous people in Butler, David. Very generous people who bought into the program, who we would approach and wanted to help. And we had organizations that said, well, we'll help you raise funds, and churches. And I mean, it's unbelievable, people 30 years ago, how they wanted to give in themselves to the community. It was a beautiful thing to see how it all came together.
Mm-hmm. And there's another part of the story we'll get to in a few minutes, but originally, you started out with personal care in that one building.
That is
the
correct.
Original YWCA.
Right.
Did you have to? Eventually, the meeting room was reconfigured, right?
That is right.
Is that where the gym used to be, by the way?
Yes, okay. Yes, absolutely.
Because I never saw the gym.
Okay, it was a huge gym. It was the width of the entire building. Mm-hmm. It was a huge gym, yes. But we had, and I will tell you, Jane Preston is the one that gave us the money to do that. And her thoughts and plans are in that also. It's a beautiful, beautiful room now for the public or the Y programs, or we've had even wedding receptions and things like that in this big, long, mm-hmm. big room.
I think the first thing that I remember, well, I don't know, it's the first thing, one of the first things I remember when I came to Butler after I got out of school was there used to be a ceremony, I hope I'm right on this, called the Hanging of the Greens.
Oh, yes.
At the YW. Am I
yes,
memory
that
failing
is
me?
Correct. That is correct. Now, that was before my time. That was being phased out by the time that I started.
Mm-hmm. But the changing of the mission was already underway.
Yes,
you were
absolutely.
Turning into a personal care facility.
Well, that and also we upgraded our Tiny Tots. It was called Tiny Tots, a preschool type thing. And with the help of Sister Giuseppe, I'm sure you remember her, mm-hmm. she worked with us to bring Montessori to the Y. And now we have morning and afternoon classes and a waiting list. So we do very well with that program also.
I forgot about that. And I did a program with the Sister Giuseppe, much loved, by the way.
She is. I think she's still alive, is she not?
She is, yeah.
Yes, wonderful
person. Brought Montessori to Butler.
Oh, my goodness, she lived that program. Mm-hmm. She truly did, mm-hmm. and I loved working with her.
And that lives on, right?
It has, it
now,
has.
Now, what's the location for the YWCA Montessori now?
It's in the Monarch Building here in Butler. I believe that was the former Spang building.
Yes, over on the south side on Brew Avenue.
Yes, mm-hmm. It's over there. And it's off-site because, as you can see, we're using our building for the care of the elderly. Mm-hmm. So, yes, we have two sessions of that morning and afternoon. And I myself think it's an excellent program. There's a lot of structure in that program, and I think that's very good for preschool kids.
We find out more and more about models of education there in a state of flux right now, even higher education, post high school, really
definitely.
Changing. But the more you find out about young kids, preschool, pre-K, mm-hmm. And what are the newest models, man, they're just echoing Maria Montessori. It's like she wrote the book, and they're
absolutely
echoing what she did.
Absolutely, she did, and isn't it wonderful?
We're talking for listeners who may have joined us a little bit late on this segment of the program, and that happens because a lot of people listen to the radio in their car. If you just joined us, our guest is Margaret Clausen. Margaret will be retiring in 3 days.
Right.
As the longtime executive director of the Butler YWCA on West Cunningham Street. After 33 years as executive director, by the way. That may be a record, you know.
I don't know, but it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, a lot of fun. Now, are you originally from this area, Margaret, or did you move here?
No, I'm from Evans City. I was born and raised in Butler, but I married a man from Evans City, and I moved there, and that's where we raised our children, and that's where I live today. Mm-hmm. Love it. Mm-hmm. Love small-town living.
Yeah.
I really do.
Well, Evans City's a nice town, yeah. The YWCA then expanded its mission.
Correct.
The Under Our Wing program came about. Tell us a little bit about
that.
Well,
Under Our Wing is a tax credit building. It's sponsored by the Housing Authority. We're the managing agent. This is for low-income people, I believe it's 65 and older. They are small apartments, but it's definitely independent living. Now, if the people need help, we are connected with Life Butler. They have an office in our building, and so they can have meals delivered there. They can have medical care. And it's 24-hour supervision for them. It's a really nice program because they can remain independent, and yet they just have to push a button and they have services brought into them.
Mm-hmm. So it operates in a different manner than
yes,
the personal
does.
Care
mm-hmm.
in the, I don't know how to describe it, the main building. I
right,
guess.
That's it.
They're connected though, right?
Yes,
there's a walkway?
Yes, there's a bridge.
Mm-hmm. Bridge.
A bridge
yeah.
over. And then, too, we went and we purchased Parker Personal Care, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we have been running that for, about 15 years, I think. And that's a beautiful place up there, sitting on those 10 acres in Armstrong County. Oh, my goodness, that's a lovely, lovely building.
Both of my parents were there.
Yes, they were. Yeah. And I must tell you, I enjoyed your father. I've told you that before, David. It was, I would go to Parker just because I could sit and listen to him. And he and I discussed World War II and all that. That's a subject I love.
He was quite a storyteller.
Oh, yeah. And he could do a good job, a wonderful job. So I really did. I truly loved going up there when he was still alive and talking. And we agreed a lot on a lot of things about World War II and what the sacrifices that were made and the people that managed to live beyond that. Yes, we had a lot of conversations.
That was an amazing renovation project as well, because
yes.
that facility was once an elementary school.
Yes, it was. Parker Elementary School, mm-hmm. yes. Mm-hmm. And so there are, I think there's about 25 rooms, all private with baths. And there again is for lower income people, private pay. And something else I love about it, too, is it has that big school kitchen. So the food is wonderful. I mean, everything is homemade. And we have some good cooks. And I make excuses to go up there right at lunchtime so that I can eat their food. So that tells you something.
That is a classic. I hate to see buildings torn down. And that's a classic reuse because that's in the Allegheny-Clarion Valley School District.
Yes.
And as many school districts have done, Butler most recently, just within the past couple of years,
mm-hmm.
AC Valley consolidated. They closed all of their elementary schools.
Yes.
Every single one.
Yes.
And they now bus all of their elementary students mm-hmm. to a new building in mm-hmm. the center of the district. So the Parker Elementary School is not that old. It was still a wonderful building, but
oh, it's beautiful, beautiful.
Repurposed now, and it's a wonderful facility.
It is. It truly is. And the renovations that have been made. There's a huge fireplace as you go into the big entry hall,
mm-hmm.
And as I said, the cafeteria is huge, and the yard around it. You just sit out there. You can look all over the various areas and the counties and what have you. And that is a very relaxing, nice thing to do too.
Well, speaking of architectural wonders, Where do I check with my producer, Pat Parker? Do I need to take a break here pretty soon, or am I okay? I better take a break, Pat tells me. I get to talking, Margaret, and you know me.
Yes, I do.
I guess I'm like my dad. I just
yes,
I get
going. Definitely.
Hard for me to stop. Hey, I want to talk about one of our sponsors, and that's the good folks at Butler Motor Tours, online at butlerbus.com. They have some great trips coming up. If you haven't made plans for a summer vacation yet, let me give you a couple of ideas. Here's a deluxe New England experience. They call it Mountaintop Memories and Moose Tracks Mania. And yes, you will see moose in New Hampshire, and that's where you're going, up in the White Mountains. I've vacationed in the White Mountains several times, and it is just fantastic. And one thing is, it takes a long time to drive there. So you don't have to worry about that if you go with Butler Motor Tours. You sit back and relax on one of their big coaches. They drive you there. And a really wonderful experience. That's July 23rd through the 28th. The White Mountains are gorgeous. Steam into history in early August. This is a shorter vacation, 3 days, August 4th, 5th, and 6th. Historic Gettysburg. And tavern dining while you're there. You also enjoy a train excursion aboard the Steam Into History train. You ride along the same rails that carried Abraham Lincoln from Washington, D.C. to Gettysburg when he delivered the Gettysburg Address. And lots of other trips, too. Take a look online. That's the best way to browse, butlerbus.com. Easy website to remember, huh? And remember, this is a local company now. Butler Motor Tours are on South Monroe Street in Butler. They've been taking folks from around our area to places near and far for 77 years now. Butler Motor Tours online, butlerbus.com. Very fun, very affordable way to travel as well. Stay here? Okay, thanks, Pip. It's the end of the day for me. I'm a little a little weary. Plus, I'm talking to an acquaintance of long standing here, Margaret Clausen, visiting with us. The soon-to-retire executive director of the YWCA. I mentioned Architectural Wonders, the building that was constructed to house under our wing. I still am amazed. I remember talking to you about this. You told me how many rooms there were going to be, and this is a storefront. I don't know. It's like 15 feet wide. That's probably a little bit of exaggeration.
Actually, it's 30 feet wide, but if for that type of a building, that's tight.
I don't know how you squeeze that building in there.
Oh, wing and a prayer.
Yeah. Wow. Under our wing.
Hey, very good.
The first time you took me in there, it was right after it had opened.
I remember.
I was just astonished.
Beautiful.
It's gorgeous inside. It really is.
Oh, it is.
And I kept thinking, because I thought it was going to be like claustrophobic and, you know, crowd. No, it's just a long, skinny building is what it is.
It is, very much so. But the way it is designed, there's so much light in the building and windows, a lot of space for the windows. I like that. Mm-hmm. Rooms are nice size, and they have a big, living room downstairs. And as I say, they're all private rooms with kitchenettes and baths. So there's a lot of privacy to be had if you want that.
I think that's the future of the YWCA at this point. Demographics changed about 30 years ago, I guess, and all of a sudden we had a much greater need for personal care and independent living facilities for folks in their senior years.
I think they will probably stick with that. And what I see crossing my desk right now is it's really escalating. We are living longer, and we do need some supportive services. And what are we going to do with our elder generation? That's a problem, I think, in the world today, because it's common for people to live to be 80, 90, 100 years old.
I notice it because we like to pass on anniversary greetings to folks. And, you know, I can remember it wasn't all that long ago when people would say, gosh, you know, hope we live to our 50th wedding anniversary.
Absolutely.
That was considered a real benchmark. You know, if we could just be together to our 50th wedding anniversary. It's extremely common now for us to wish 60th,
65? Yeah, absolutely.
We had one a couple of weeks ago. It was something in the 70s. I don't know.
Amazing. I mean, absolutely amazing, yeah. Isn't it? But you're going to see more and more of that. And as you know, most of the time, people cannot live independently. They're going to have supportive services some way or the other. And we're also talking about people who earned money in the 40s, 50s, not very much an hour. Mm-hmm. Therefore, their Social Security, retirement's not very much. They can't pay high rates. They can't pay $3,000 a month to live in a high rise. They just can't. Mm-hmm. So we're seeing a lot of that, something that is affordable for them, something that has services they don't have to leave the building. I think it's great. I really do. But then I'm old too, so.
Well, for people that like living in an urban environment, and you know, that's becoming more and more popular.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
And I'm not talking about just older people. No. There are a lot of millennials, young adults who have decided they want to live in the city.
Absolutely.
Even in downtown Butler, that's happening. A lot of buildings
are
renovating for downtown apartments. So if you like being in the center of things, you like the buzz of being in the city, can't beat it.
Yeah. I think people like the idea of not having to maintain an automobile or transportation. Go down in an elevator, walk out onto Main Street. You can get most anything you want. Mm-hmm. I think they like that. That makes them a little more independent because they can come and go as they please, and they can choose what they want to buy. Physicians, are local. Drugstores are local now. So I think people look at that.
Right, I didn't think about
that. It's convenient.
Attorneys?
It's convenient.
Most attorneys are right downtown.
Absolutely, they are. Absolutely.
Many of them, anyway. So.
Yes, and so I think it's nice. And if you want to go for a walk on a Sunday afternoon or something, you can walk up toward the courthouse. It's such a nice area up there, too. And I think people are looking for that. Now you shop online. You don't have to go into the big department stores any longer. So there, but you can't do that with a physician. You have to go to his office or her office. So it's nice to have that available.
And there's one block downtown, right in the center of town. I counted it up one day. There's 7 churches within one block span.
That's great.
Yeah.
That is great.
All different denominations, too,
yes,
by the way. Yeah.
That would work. That would work. And don't you think people are coming back to organized religion? I see the churches are more filled and more interest in them than maybe 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And we also have 2 craft breweries downtown now.
Oh, that's good too.
Want to grab a fresh brewed beer.
And you could walk home. You don't have to get in your car. So that would be fine.
So your board of directors, your YWCA board of directors, probably analyzes this on a fairly regular basis. They have a 5-year plan or a 10-year plan or whatever.
Yes. I'm going to miss it very much. I love the people I work with and the friends I have made in Butler. This is a wonderful community. They have been generous. They've been kind. It's been a lot of fun just knowing new people and working with them. And I will have to share a funny story with you. When I came to Butler, Mary Phillips was such a good supporter of the YWCA, and here Mary was my Girl Scout leader many, many years ago. So we reconnected, and we could sit and talk about when she was the Girl Scout leader and I was her little Girl Scout. So that brought back a lot of fun memories for me. And there's so many of those stories, that I have.
I didn't know. Of course, Mary Halton Phillips was not the type of person who stood up on the top of the steps and screamed about all the good
never.
She was doing.
No,
I didn't realize
never.
Her connection
no.
with the Y.
No. She was so, so generous.
She
wonderful
was
person.
She was a regular listener to this program. And
oh, I know.
In the later parts of her life, I had her on several mm-hmm. times. She was a delightful guest.
Oh, wasn't she? She had such a wonderful sense of humor. Mm-hmm. I just enjoyed spending time with her. I did. But I many, many people have crossed my path since I've been at the YWCA. Many, like Mary, generous people. And I'm going to miss that camaraderie. I truly am. But I'm also looking forward to have a lot of time to myself and doing things I've wanted to do. And like I tell them at the Y, I'm going to sit and eat ice cream all day because I've wanted to do that for years. So I think I'm going to start with that.
I also didn't realize that the late Jane Preston had been a benefactor.
Very much so.
Of the Y.
Yes. Jane was very generous to the YWCA, mm-hmm. very generous indeed.
This is, for people who aren't familiar, not familiar with Butler history, the late Jane Preston was the widow of Frank Preston, who was so instrumental in the founding of the Western Pennsylvania Conservancy.
Yes.
The idea of, why don't we build Moraine State Park?
I should say, definitely.
Why don't we recreate mm-hmm. The Glacier Lake that used to be there? A real visionary.
Yes,
yeah.
And wasn't that good and wonderful?
By the way, she used to call this program on pretty regular basis and read the riot act to me whenever she felt like I was getting out of line.
And she could do that. She was opinionated. I really respected that. I truly did.
So did I. I loved her.
Yeah. Yes, I did. Yeah. And we've had many, many great talks, and I love Jane. I did.
Mm-hmm. So you plan just a little R&R?
Definitely.
Uh-huh.
R&R. Mm-hmm. I have nothing planned.
Not planning any trips to Beijing or anywhere like
that?
No,
I don't think so. I think so. I'm a pirate fan. I like going to the pirate games, and I like spending time with my grandchildren, and now I have great-grandchildren. I'd like to do a little bit more with them. So, mm-hmm. yes, I'm not going to plan anything other than just what I want to do when I want to do it.
Have you been involved in other activities besides your service as executive director of the YW?
Well, to be honest with you, that's taken up a good deal of my time.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I was thinking about getting involved with some other things. But you know what, David? I think I'm going to take some time off just for me.
Well, I think you deserve it.
I do, too. I tell myself that. Margaret, you deserve it.
My goodness gracious. After your service... For all those years as the executive director, heavens to Murgatroyd, you deserve
it. Well, and I have to tell you, I'm going to miss my staff, something fierce. They're not just staff to me, they're dear friends. I've been there long enough, and they have been there long enough. And like I say, we worry about each other. We worry about each other's families.
Mm-hmm.
And that's nice. It's nice. It's a nice warm feeling when you go home at night to know that people are caring about you and they're concerned about you. And I will miss that very, very much.
Well, a lot of people are going to miss you, too.
Well, I hope so.
That's for sure.
Yeah. I do.
I'll miss you. Stop by every once in a while or call me up and read the riot act.
Oh, I can do that, too.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
my goodness, yes. Just ask my friends. I can tell you how to do it, David.
Margaret Clausen, for those of you who didn't know this, will be retiring at the end of this week from a longtime stint. As the top administrator of the YWCA here in Butler, and she's led it through quite a few changes over those decades. It was nice of you. I imagine you're getting a lot of requests and stuff here in the last few days on the job. It was nice of you to stop by and chat with us. I really enjoyed it.
You know I enjoy this. I'm a talker, Dave. I enjoy doing that. I enjoy talking with you, and you're very like your dad. That's a compliment.
You couldn't say anything that would please me more. Trust me. Yeah. Thanks, Margaret. Margaret Clausen, visiting with us here on the program today. We thank our earlier guests, Steve Alton. We need to check the midday lottery numbers, and after we do that, we'll tell you what's coming up later in the week, so stick around. We'll be right back.
Midday lottery numbers for you today. The pick 2 is 6868. The pick 3 is 836. The pick 4 is 5154. Pick 5, 25077. The wild ball for each of those is 7. The treasure hunt, 12, 13, 18, 21, and 26. Estimated jackpot for tomorrow's treasure hunt is $10,000.
Moving from my home of 50 years was a little scary, but I wasn't safe at home anymore, and my daughter with her busy life, children and grandchildren, it wasn't fair for me to expect so much from her.
We looked together to find a new home and discovered New Haven Court at Clearview.
What made the difference were the employees and the residents we met. The residents said it was a great place to live.
New Haven Court at Clearview, a great place to live because it's a great place to work. 888-261-5753 or visit IntegraCare.com.
Coming up on the program tomorrow, it'll be the Wednesday edition, of course, of It's Your Turn. We'll have guests with us from Butler downtown to kick things off on the program tomorrow. We'll also be talking about whether or not it's a good idea to be a multitasker. And we're not talking about just daily or weekly chores. We're talking about even as a career. at least that's what our guest, Emily Wapnick, will talk about when she visits with us on tomorrow's program. And we've got some other surprises for you as well. Later on, over the next few days, we'll be talking with a man from this area who has recently returned from Antarctica. I don't know whether I've ever talked to anybody before who was in Antarctica. Wow, that'll be nice. Peter Anno will be visiting with us. And we'll have guests, too. Saxenburg is getting ready to celebrate a big anniversary. They'll be doing that in just a couple of weeks. And we'll tell you all about that over the next few days as well. So lots of things and more to look forward to here on the It's Your Turn program. Thanks for being with us today. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. I'm Dave Mullarkey. We'll see you tomorrow on It's Your Turn here on WISR 680 in Butler.